We're going to talk a little Blue Jays baseball. Matt Cause from TSN 1050 joins us. Matty, how are you?
I'm good. But what's this minor deal? TJ Brennick coming back to the Toronto Marlies. This is the biggest story right now. We're dropping all the guests. We're going full bore on this. This is a big story. All right, anyway.
The big story in Toronto, Sanders is out till the All-Star break. And, a lot of people were a little worried about the depth of the outfield of the Blue Jays. Right now, it looks razor thin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what it says about just Rogers and about Anthopoulos, is that all it takes is a sprinkler system to destroy the outfield of the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, when they didn't re-sign Melky Cabrera, you know, they were taking a risk. Michael Saunders, who missed a lot of last season with a hyperextended knee, with a shoulder strain, with oblique issues, you know, and he suffered a lot of injuries, and then expect him to come in here and to fill a spot. And then also you have Dalton Pompey, who, you know, looked fun last year, but had less than 40 at-bats. And now suddenly you're going to be expecting a lot out of him. You better hope Jose Bautista doesn't get injured. And then there's going to be guys that you've never heard of before. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd like to say that I knew a lot about Chris Dickerson before 8:55 this morning, but I had no idea about a 32-year-old that the Jays signed a minor league contract with in the off season. It puts Toronto in such a difficult position.
What do you think they're going to do? What's the scuttlebuck in Toronto right now? Like, are they going to go with a bunch of no-name guys?
Yep. It's going to be right now what it looks like is no-name guys. I mean, obviously, you say you never know, but listening to Anthopoulos, it seems like they're going to try to go from within. They're going to try to just, you know, hope that Dalton Pompey can do it, that Kevin Pillar, and that also no one else gets injured. And, you know, they'll have to bring up some of the guys that they signed to minor league deals, but they want to do this internally because, remember, Toronto is also looking to make moves to help in the bullpen. Deonner Navarro, there's a good chance, obviously, he wants to be traded. And before the talk was trading him for arms, and I still think that's a bigger concern is the bullpen. But, you know, you're one injury away. If Jose Bautista misses one game, it's like Jenga. You know, he's the Jenga piece, and if you take him out, the whole tower could collapse.
What are they going to do with Navarro? He's come out and asked for a trade. You think he gets dealt before the season starts?
He gets dealt, but I don't think it'll be before the season starts, unless another team suffers an injury. And this is a case where there's no rush at all. Even with the injury to Michael Saunders, it's still not a rush because there's going to be a team out there that's going to lose a catcher. You know, it's a hard position to play, and Toronto is dealing from a place of strength. So I think Navarro, I think he stays, and just Toronto waits on that until they get the leverage they need. You know, and also, you never know, maybe Russell Martin gets hurt. And then Josh Toley, while he's good in terms of catching for R.A. Dickey, you know, he's not the everyday answer. So I think Toronto waits. I don't think he survives the year. You know, he's going to want to move. You talk to former players, and it can be sort of a pain when you know a guy really doesn't want to be there. And, you know, he had a very good year last year, set a lot of career highs. Played fairly well. It was a pretty good investment for the team. And for him, I can see why he'd want to go and pick up somewhere where he could get to play 100 or so games a year.
Matt Cause joins us from TSN 1050 in Toronto talking Blue Jays, of course, catchers and pitchers have reported. And you talked about the bullpen. Where do you think is the biggest weakness in that bullpen?
Well, the biggest weakness, first, is just figure out who's going to be the closer. And even as I say it, the only thing that always bothers me about it, and I'm sometimes a guy who believes in analytics, and sometimes I my eyes gloss over, but I've never fully understood the need for the closer. If the 3, 4, and 5 hitter are coming up in the 8th inning of a one-run game with one man on, then I think you'd want your best pitcher in the 8th inning. You know, you want in the high leverage situations. But the first thing to figure out is, who is going to be the closer? You know, are you going to go with Brett Cecil, which, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about it. And he certainly deserves an opportunity for that. But then do you want a lefty as your closer? And then so then the other option is Aaron Sanchez. And the problem with that is, where best can you use Aaron Sanchez, who was absolutely electric last year? Do you use him in the bullpen to be your number seven, you know, your seventh inning, your eighth inning guy? Do you make him your fifth starter? A lot of that will depend on Daniel Norris. But, I mean, that's the biggest question is, first, who's the closer? But then the second question is, who's going to be the guy or two that comes out of nowhere? Who's going to be the diamond in the rough, the guy you didn't expect, who suddenly gives you 50 to 80 quality innings? Because for every great bullpen out there, there's usually one of those stories.
Matt, when you look at the batting order right now, how do you see it playing out? And is offense, because on paper, I don't see a ton, you know, after Donaldson and Bautista.
Well, the top four or five of the roster is going to be good. And that part of it depends on the health of Jose Reyes. You know, between Jose Reyes starting it out, you have Russell Martin, Donaldson, you have the power with Bautista, the power with Encarnacion. The top five guys are set. The problem starts after that. Let's face it. No one at second base can hit a lick. Mizer, Sturrus, Ryan Goins, you know, I mean, those guys, I mean, that's basically, that's like when I used to play baseball, when the outfield would bellow easy out and everyone in the outfield would come and hang around the second baseman. That's second base. You know, and then after that, you know, Dalton Pompey with the amount of at-bats he's had, which is limited. And then is it Saunders, Kevin Pillar? You know, so you have issues there. So the problem is it's a very top-heavy lineup. And, you know, it's going to start with Jose Reyes and how much on base he can get. He's the one that can set it all up. They've got a chance to beat a very dangerous offense this year. And let's face it, last season, they were a fairly good team offensively. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, they were top 10, top 12.
When you look at Jose Reyes, who, you know, last year, I think he played in like 145 games, if memory serves me correct, or very close. I know he had over 600 at-bats, so he was there a lot. There are some people that are still, you know, wondering, is this guy injury prone. How do you see Reyes? Should people be concerned about his health?
I don't think so. And you brought up a good point, the amount of games, 143.
Is that
now, the
okay?
Year before that, he played, so hey, you know, you're almost dead on. The year before that, 93. But then think about the three seasons before that, 133, 126, 160 games in 2012. I don't worry as much, about his health. For the most part, he has been healthy. He is 31 years old, so that, you know, that's a bit of a concern. But, you know, I still see him as a guy who's going to get you 600 or so at-bats. He's going to get you between 65 and 80 stolen bases. The key, you know, the key for him is just to keep his average up to a certain level. In terms of stolen bases, I exaggerate a little bit. I think more 30 to 40. My main concern is his walk to strikeout rate. Last year, it was brutal. 38 walks to 73 strikeouts. That's the one place you want to see an improvement.
Matt, I know a lot of people in Toronto around the baseball world were tossing out the idea if the Jays really wanted to improve their team, they might have to move one of Bautista or Encarnacion, you know, to get maybe two players or possibly three players back. Do you think that's a realistic option?
Now, that's a realistic option only if it's that's not the short term. Now we're starting to enter the Toronto Maple Leafs rebuild scenario, which is a very possible one. Let's say Toronto gets off to a slow start, and the things with Michael Saunders, it leads to just a chain reaction of bad things. And let's say Toronto is 12 games under 500 in early July. Well, then you're going to start to have that conversation. Because remember, Paul Beeston, he's gone after this year. They're still trying to find out who the next president of the Maple Leafs is going to be. So, you know, you could see him gone. You could see Anthopoulos gone. And if you then have to realize, all right, the plan that Anthopoulos has tried for the last 5 years hasn't worked. Well, what are the strengths of this team? Marcus Stroman, Drew Hutchinson, Daniel Norris, Aaron Sanchez. What are those guys? Those are young pitchers. It's going to be a couple years before they're in a position to be legitimate number one and two pitchers. So what do you do? Maybe you trade Bautista, you trade Encarnacion, both those guys in their early to mid-30s, and you realize, all right, it's time to blow it up because our best batters don't match the age of our potential stars pitching-wise. And you can even look to move Dickey or Mark Burley. And that's the thing. This year to me feels it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to be Toronto is in legitimate contention in September and can make the playoffs, or they're going to blow it up, and to paraphrase from SCTV, they're going to blow it up real good.
It's an interesting one, Matt. Lastly, when you look at it, and I know it's always hard in the crystal ball. 2 years ago, everybody in the baseball world was picking the Jays to win the World Series, and obviously they never got close. Will the Jays be in the race on August 15th?
I think they will.
Okay.
You know, I do think they will. Part of it is just there is still a lot of talent on this team, and we're down right now in this city because of the loss of Michael Saunders. But, you know, Baltimore, Yankees, Tampa, Boston, if you look at the pitchers for them, none of them have elite number one or two starters. Baltimore lost a lot of bats. If you look at the American League East, Toronto was number two in scoring differential last year, in run differential, plus 37. So they were better than the Yankees, Tampa, or Boston. A lot of people are picking Boston, but, you know, Boston's such a weird team. Last place, they win the World Series, last place again. So I think when you couple the AL East with there is a legitimate talent on the Blue Jays, they'll be competitive before, you know, by, as you said, August 15th.
Matt, always great to talk to you, man. I'll let you go because I know you have to prep for all of that TJ Brennan talk.
We got 2 hours of TJ Brennan talk. I don't know if we'll have time for anything else on the show. And, of course, you know, trade deadline coming up on Monday. And, well, we'll see who's still a Maple Leaf at the end of it. Thank you very much for having on the show, and enjoy the rest of the day.